Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Well, for now, we'll be reading the first 7 verses. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant unto thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he ripped his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Once again, good morning. Glad to have you here present for our worship hour as we open the Word of God and learn lessons from it and apply it to our lives. I want to go ahead and extend a warm invitation for you to be back. We'd love to have each and every one of you back tonight at 5:30 as we will look at Psalm 110. Psalm 110, and just as a little preview, Psalm 10 is one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament. And so come back tonight at 5:30 and we'll open that and see how that applies to us today. It is a super day, and by that I mean it is the first day of the week. Today the Lord has commanded for us to worship Him, and I'm glad that you are here. This morning I want us to talk about some sabotaging attitudes of Naaman. Some sabotaging attitudes of Naaman. You know, proper attitudes are very important when it comes to dealing with the Word of God. Many are rejecting and misunderstanding God's Word simply because they don't have the right attitude about it. So they misunderstand it. Too many have an attitude of wanting to please self and ignoring what God has said to do. When we look at the account of Naaman, it will give us some insight as to what should be our proper attitude when it comes to dealing with God. What do we know about Naaman? Well, Naaman, he's a commander-in-chief of the Syrian army. 2 Kings 5 and verse 1 tells us that he held a high place in the service of the king. And notice that last clause of verse 1. It says, "But he was a leper." Now, what is leprosy? Leprosy is a horrible disease that, thankfully, we don't really have to worry about it as much today as they did back in Bible times. But leprosy is a slowly progressing disease characterized with lumps below the skin, scabs, and white shining spots that appear to be deeper than the skin. You have bumps all over you. And as the disease progresses, think of it as a death, if you will. You can lose fingers, you can lose toes. If it progresses long enough, if you don't die of something else, you could even lose your limbs. Why? Because your skin and everything around it is literally rotting away. So if you had leprosy, for instance, in your left hand, and you slammed it too hard into a wall, you could break some fingers off. You look at me and say, "That sounds gross." Well, it is. That's why I'm glad we don't have to worry about it as much today. Leprosy is incurable. Lepers usually had to live together in leper colonies outside of main cities. And they would always have to approach somebody and say, I'm not clean. Don't approach me or else you could catch this disease. Now in Naaman's house, as we're reading from verse 2 onward, there is an Israelite maiden who served the wife of Naaman. She was taken captive, but Israelite being God's chosen people, so she knew about God. And this Israelite maiden told her mistress, Sarah, the prophet in Samaria, that could heal Naaman of this leprosy. And so Naaman related this to his boss, the king of Syria. And the king of Syria sends Naaman to the king of Israel with a letter. And when the king of Israel receives it, he's angry, he's mad, he tears his clothing, and he says, am I God that I can make people alive or that I can kill somebody? And so now Elisha, we pick up our story in verse 8. Elisha, the prophet who took over for Elijah, comes into the picture. Verses 8 through 10, you think this would be good news. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he said to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now unto me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Oh, what's this? Elisha, the prophet of God, says, you can be clean from an incurable disease only because of God's help. So this sounds like good news, right? It is if you're anybody in the world but Naaman. Verse 11, he's not happy. In fact, the Bible says he was wroth and went away angry and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and he would recover the leper. Naaman was expecting something more, perhaps some kind of special ceremony. And notice he complains in verse 12, are not Arbana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Now he's being mad about the quality of the river. Now I will give this to Naaman. The Jordan River was a nasty old river. And it was dirty and it was known for being nasty and it was known for being dirty. But that's what the prophet of God said to do. But Naaman thinks he knows better. So notice what the servant says in verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much more rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? And he went down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came out like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So notice what this caring friend says. If he'd have given you something amazing to do, wouldn't you have done it? Well, that was a big slap in the face for the ego of Naaman, wasn't it? And so why would he refuse to do something so easy? Oh no. He was mad. What he was expecting. And so he finally obeys. Verse 14, he dips 7 times and he has been made whole. So that's the story of Naaman. So this morning, now that we understand the story, I want us to look at 5 different attitudes that we see, really in verses 11 through 14. 5 different attitudes of Naaman. Number one, it's the I thought attitude. The I thought. Look again to verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away angry and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me. We'll pick up there in a minute. Naaman expected something different than what the prophet had given him. He thought maybe something would happen just right there on the spot, and it didn't. And so he went away angry. You think he would have just been satisfied with being clean, but he wasn't. Now, let me ask you this. Is this not the exact sentiment of many people in the world today when they're confronted with God's Word? Many become angry. Many have the I think attitude, or I thought. They say, I thought another answer would be given. For instance, when God says how to be saved, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. People say, but I thought he'd give me another answer. I wanted to do this, or I wanted to do that. Or they say, well, I thought it could have been done a different way. But Jesus says, I am the way. That means one. Many people in the world today have the so-called I thought attitude. I thought this, or I thought that, and no offense to you or me, I don't care who you are, I prefer God's opinion over what you think. No offense. I always want to take God at His Word. Brethren, we need to be more concerned with what God thinks. Let's look, for instance, in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God says, my thoughts are better than yours. Why? Because he's God. So we shouldn't have the I thought attitude. But let's look at a New Testament example in Romans. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. You know how great the thought process of God is? Watch this. Romans 11, starting in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him that it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of whom, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. I love the way Paul phrases it in verse 3. Oh, the depth of the riches, of the wisdom and knowledge of God. You may have met some people whose wisdom and knowledge was not very deep. They may just not have known what they were talking about. Think about God. Oh, the depth. It just keeps going. What God knows and how God knows things. Why? Because he is God, brethren. Our thoughts are of no consequence compared to the thoughts of God. So the first attitude we see of Naaman that was a problem for him was he thought he knew better. Number one. Number two. The expecting more than was given attitude. Naaman expected more than what was given. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. We'll pick up with that line, I thought. And behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Literally, go back to Hebrew, he thought he would move his arms up and down. He would do something special. Naaman was expecting some type of a special ceremony. He was expecting something different. And you know what? When he didn't get it, he became angry. He wanted some big pomp and circumstance event. He didn't get that. Brethren, many in the church today get mad and leave because they're not getting what they expected. Perhaps, for instance, they were expecting something more out of worship. Or could it be that they're just not getting what they want? Because they thought they knew something that was better than what God knows. Brethren, Naaman thought that something greater was going to happen. But let's be honest. What greater event could have happened than him being healed of his leprosy at that given time? What's the greater event? There's not a greater event. The great thing was always there. And he overlooks it. Many today are expecting something greater out of religion, all the while failing to see the greatness that is already present. Well, I mean, first off, there's the greatness of the forgiveness of sins. People want some great way of having their sins forgiven. Brethren, I can think of no better way than the perfect Son of God, that Lamb of God, being slain on the cross. Oh, it was a horrid death. He did it because he loved us. That makes it great. The greatness of the forgiveness of sin. What's another greatness that people sometimes overlook? The greatness of a home in heaven. Yes, we may like the current house that we live in. We may like the part of the world that we live in. It may be perfect according to your standards, or if not, you're doing things to make it perfect. There's nothing wrong with that. But then when you start thinking about that heavenly home, that God, that Jesus has been preparing that mansion for you and for me, for faithful unto death. Well, what's greater than that? The answer is nothing. What about the greatness of Christian fellowship? Brother David and I were talking just before worship, and you know, when maybe you miss a service due to weather being canceled or sickness, you just kind of miss out on that fellowship. There's a great thing when we assemble together on a regular basis and meet with fellow Christians who are like-minded, who are different than we are, and do different things for a living, but we all come together with one goal of getting to heaven. What could be greater than that? Brethren, if we're not getting enough out of our religion, then it's clear we're not putting enough into it. If you just show up for 1 hour a week and expect to get something great out of it, and you don't, I wonder why. You weren't studying. You weren't being present every time. You weren't, the list goes on and on and on. Don't be like Naaman. He expected something greater. That was number two. Number three, attitude of Naaman. The complaint about what is commanded and the rather do something else attitude. Naaman complained about what was commanded of him, and he said he would rather do something else. Let's go back to our lesson text, verse 12. Are not Abana or Amana, depending on your translation, and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in rage. Naaman the Syrian complained about having to dip in that old, dirty Jordan River. He had been told exactly what he needed to do to be healed of his horrible disease. What's he do? He complains about it. He'd rather get mad. Can you imagine? Put yourself in Naaman's shoes and you have leprosy. And let's be real here. You are probably hurting from the very middle spot of your head down to the soles of your feet. And every time you're wearing your tunic, he's in the army, so he's wearing armor, is he not? Every time some of your clothing and your armor touches your body, you hurt in that area and maybe others. And you take another step, and you hurt there. And you hurt all day long, and your skin is literally rotting off in front of your eyes. And a prophet of God has said, if you dip in the Jordan River 7 times, you will be cleansed. Can you imagine complaining about that way to be cleansed? Standing there in pain and probably talking while you're hurting and say, I'd rather do something else. Most would have been willing to do anything to be cleansed. Brethren, today many people are complaining about the Lord's cure for sin. Can you imagine someone complaining about a way to avoid eternal death? That's what Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin are death. So if we die in an unrepentant state, we receive death. There's no sugarcoating to that, and there shouldn't be. Can you imagine somebody saying, well, I know death is the option, but I'd rather do something else to have my sins forgiven. Said it happens a lot. Many complain about, for instance, the requirement. They say, well, I don't really have to be baptized, do I? And they'd rather do something else, like faith only. You just have to believe in Jesus, they say. Say a sinner's prayer, which is never found in the Bible. And all of a sudden, I have this warm feeling and everything's good. But I don't read that in the Bible. In any of the accounts of conversion in the book of Acts, I never read them praying a sinner's prayer. Brethren, if we want our sins forgiven, we need to meet God on His terms. Let's go to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 14, Galatians and Ephesians, and you get to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Yeah, we'll probably go through 15, 16. Watch this. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, or perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither have I labored in vain. What's Paul say in verse 14? Do all things without murmurings and or disputing, murmurings and disputings. What's the key word in that sentence? All. Do all things. Without murmurings, without disputings. Paul doesn't say, well, pick the ones that you really like and do those. And the ones that you don't like, you can complain about those. Do all things. Brethren, are we going to complain about God's commands I would encourage you not to. That's number three, attitude of Naaman, complaining and wanting to do something else. Number four this morning, we see a caring friend attitude. The attitude of the caring friend, verse 13, back in our lesson text. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? The servants of Naaman, they point out how ridiculous Naaman's attitudes have been. The servant says, if he had told you to do something big, monumentous, difficult, strenuous, put whatever adjective you want to in there, thing, you would have done it, wouldn't you? Here he has told you to do something very simple, and yet you won't. Naaman, I tell you what, Naaman was lucky to have this good of a friend. Some people would say, well, that he's going off again, he has this bad attitude again, I'll just let him sit there and stew. But this servant cared enough to speak up against him. Brethren, the world needs more friends who are willing to show others the error of their ways. And I mean that. Many times we get caught up in a situation and we may not be able to see things as clearly as they are. But somebody who's not involved can look in and say, look, here's what's happening. Now, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes people don't want to hear it, but we have to remember what Paul told those of Ephesus, speaking the truth in love, not being harsh, not being in that told you so, but genuinely concerned for them. Let's go see what James says. In James chapter 5, in the last two verses of the book, James 5, 19 and 20. James has been talking about prayer. He has just used an example of it raining with Elias in verse 17. Verse 19, Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. Brethren, Naaman's servant saved him from certain death. If left in that condition, Naaman would have died from leprosy, if he hadn't been killed in battle or something else. But Naaman was heading down the path to death, let's just be honest. But this good friend helped him see it more clearly. And lastly, what's our fifth attitude of Naaman? It's the obedient attitude. The obedient attitude. Once again, verse 14 of 2 Kings 5. Then he, who's that? That's Naaman. He went down. And he dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like to the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Notice this, when Naaman finally realized how foolish he had been acting, he finally obeys what Elisha, the servant of God, has said to do. After he came to his senses, then he obeyed. We need to put away our pride, put away our big heads, and we need to obey God. Let's look now in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. One of my favorite verses in Samuel. 1 Samuel 15, 22, and Samuel said, talking to Saul, Has the Lord rejected, or has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Many people are going through the motions. They're not really obeying God. Saul thought he was doing right, but he wasn't. That's why Samuel says, Behold, to obey God is better than sacrifice. It's better to think you're doing right. Obey God is better than that. Let's go now to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke 6 and 46, a famous quote of Jesus. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Jesus says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Jesus Christ says there are many people who are calling on him, but they're not doing what he said to do. Brother Brad read this morning, which was I didn't even tell him to, but we were on that same wavelength from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Many will say to me that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this? And have we not done that? Have we not been doing what you told us to do?" I say, "I don't know who you are. Depart from me. You're a worker of iniquity." Why? Because they're going through motions. Because they hadn't truly obeyed what God has said to do. Let's look at one more verse in James chapter 2. And verse 17, James 2:17, "Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." So James tells us that we have to have faith and we have to put it into action. We have to act upon that faith. I want you to think about the lessons that we have learned from Naaman. And I hope you're in that last stage. I hope you are in the obedient stage. We must have a proper attitude if we want to be pleasing to God. Now, I want you to watch this. Back in verse 14, 2 Kings 5. The command was for Naaman to dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River. So you know what Naaman did when he finally came to his senses? He went down that Jordan River, and he went down and came back up 1 time. And you know what? He was still a leper. Why? The servant of God, Elisha, said, "You must do this 7 times. So he goes down a second time and comes back up, and he still has leprosy. And a third time, still leprosy. 4, still leprosy. 5, still leprosy. 6 times, still leprosy. What would have happened if he got tired and went home after dipping 6 times? He would still have leprosy. Why? God said 7. Why did God say 7? I don't know. I'm not God. 7 does usually represent a completeness, though. So Naaman goes back under the water. That 7th time comes up, and the Bible says his skin is like a little baby's. It has no imperfections anywhere at all. Naaman's disease is only cured when he completely followed God. If we want our sins to be completely washed away, we have to do exactly what he said to do. So that means that we have to hear the gospel. We have to believe that it's true. We have to repent of our sins, make that public confession, and then we're baptized. So you know what that tells me from studying the story of Naaman? That if I just hear the gospel, that means I'm not saved. And you know what? If I just believe the gospel and stop there, that means I'm not saved. And even if I repent of my sins and say, you know what, I have done wrong in my life and I'll do no more, and I stop there, that means I'm not saved. And even if I stand up in front of a group such as this and say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I stop there, that means I'm still not saved. Why? I'm still missing a step. That'd be like Naaman leaving after 6 dips in the Jordan River. You have to be baptized. That's when your sins are washed away. Not a moment before. If you obey the gospel, why not? Why are you putting off the biggest decision in your life? We've already gone through the steps. Now it's up to you. What is your attitude towards God this morning? Maybe, just maybe, you've obeyed the gospel. Maybe you're not living the life that you should, that you signed up for. Why not come back this very morning and repent of those sins? Your sins are washed away once again. You've been forgiven, and you go on that straight and narrow. I hope you learned these lessons from Naaman. I hope you don't repeat his bad ones, but I hope you are obedient to God. If we can help you in any way at all this morning, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.